Now, another teacher I heard from was Laura, who said, thanks for another great podcast episode, Tim. One thing that stood out for me was when you talked about the emotional importance of creative activities, i.e. step 3 in the IMT model. Often, I get focused on making musical connections and forget that the more important connection is emotional. If the students are enjoying themselves, they are building a love for music and for learning. Thank you for this reminder. You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Hey teachers, it's Tim here and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. Wonderful to be speaking with you again this week. Today, we are actually wrapping up all the great feedback that we've been getting from you about the last few episodes where we've been talking about our integrated music teaching model. So, this is really, really exciting to be diving into. Before we get there, though, I did want to let you know about a message that I got from Benjamin Zander. So, many of you will remember his episode with me from last year, I guess it was. Which included an earthquake in Melbourne while I was recording, which was quite fun. If you haven't seen the footage of that, then we've got some somewhere online on our social media channels. It was pretty freaky, I got to say. But I wanted to pass on this message because I heard from one of his team who said he'd been reminiscing about his appearance on the podcast in 2021 and wanted me to share some things with you. So, he has recently relaunched his website, the Benjamin Zander Center, which is a collection of resources made by Ben Zander as a musician, teacher, and communicator. It houses a vast number of videos, audio recordings, lectures, articles, essays, documentaries, and interviews. Resources in ongoing production serve to provide insight into Ben's unique ability to affect positive change through music to a worldwide audience. And the center also provides the opportunity for individuals to share their stories about the impact that his work has had on their lives. So, if this is something that interests you, that you enjoyed the interview that I did with Benjamin and you've looked at his TED videos and all that kind of stuff, then they would love for you to re-engage with his new website. If you'd like to check it out, it's over at Benjamin Zander. That's all one word, BenjaminZander.org. There's no affiliate deal or anything there. It's just a recommendation because we love what Benjamin does and we had so much fun on that podcast. Well, today what I wanted to do is share some of the feedback that we've been getting from you guys about the integrated music teaching model that we've been sharing from episode number 300. I first want to share one of our own team members and amazing historical repertoire specialist and all-round amazing pianist and piano teacher, the amazing Jenna Williamson, who said this, Tim, I just listened to your 300th podcast and your IMT stuff is, as expected, so good. Obviously, we're on the same wavelength. I can't wait to see what the next content is. And then later, she listened to a future one and said, oh, I just listened to today's episode. So good. I'm really pondering the modes of assessment and realizing that I don't even think of recitals as my time to assess my students' progress. Now, this was really interesting too, because it really made me think about the three pillars of integrated music teaching, student-first teaching, question-centered teaching, and multimodal assessment. So, it was really interesting hearing Jana suggest that or state that the recitals weren't really assessment time for her. And I'm sure that's probably the case for many of you. But I guess what I'm interested in is, what is the purpose of recitals? Do we actually know what that is? Is it a chance to bring everyone together? So, is it sort of community building? Or is it a chance for students to just perform because they enjoy it and they love playing in front of people? If that's the case, then how do we look at what we do for students that aren't really so keen to do recitals? Can we change up the recitals? Can we give them different opportunities? You know, there's lots and lots of questions around this. But I thought that was a great one. Is a recital an actual kind of assessment tool, even if it's not a formal one? Or is it just a fun part of the experience that your students have? Love to know what you think. Head over to our show notes if you'd like to leave a question or comment on any of these podcasts. It's over at topmusic.co/episode306. Now, one of our other members, Jeff, messaged me to say, oh, just listen to the podcast. Congratulations on 300. I'm intrigued by the change of focus. Sounds cool. This sounds like an appropriate evolution to creative piano teaching, and I'm interested in seeing where you take it. And I think Jeff has really summed this up well in that comment, because what I see IMT as being is an evolution of exactly what we have been working with teachers on for many years now, ever since I started blogging 12 years ago. But more recently, I guess, once I started speaking at conferences, I've been talking about being more creative. And being more creative, of course, is one step in this journey. And it's an important one, and it really helps broaden horizons and loosen the shackles. And we've got students and teachers being far more engaged and having more fun and having felt like their teaching has had a refresh. There's no doubt about that. But what I see IMT as, why I see it as an evolution is because what I've now come to realize is that the creative activities that we use and have been teaching can become all the more powerful if they're used as or integrative activities for teaching the practical, the theory in practice. So if you want to think of the creative music teaching activities as being the bridge between practice and theory inside a lesson, that's really what IMT is all about. And I think Jeff really hit the nail on the head when he mentioned that. Interestingly, Jeff also said, I honestly think this is the way that I've been teaching for most of my career. It's just that I've never tried to document or explain it. And I wonder if you felt like that's the same for you. Jeff also said, this week, I've been making notes after each student's lesson if I feel an element of the lesson could be video recorded as an IMT topic or technique, because we were talking about how Jeff would be interested in sharing some of his integration activities. And he says, I just have to say that this exercise alone, i.e. making notes after each lesson about the elements and connectivity, has opened up my thinking tremendously and has made this week of teaching rather fun. Imagine that, he says. I think we'll be hearing more from Jeff about some of the things that he's doing with his students. It's been great he actually shared some of what his students are working on, the connections that he's making. So maybe in another episode, we'll share some of those. Now, another person that I spoke to about IMT, actually when I was looking to run a summit earlier in November, was Mike Grande. And Mike's been on the podcast a number of times. He's from Rock Out Loud, both the video online streaming platform and also the music schools in America. And what I asked Mike to do was, could he record a quick 5-minute video about one sort of integration an underlying theory that he has about getting the most out of music and making the most connections that he can. And so he shared this with us, and I'd love to play it now. So here's Mike Grande's integrated music teaching idea, just one simple idea that you can use in any of your lessons. And I wonder if some of you are already doing this. I expect quite a few of you will be. Here's Mike.
Tim Topham, thank you so much for inviting me to the IMT Summit to speak as a guest speaker. I'm actually privileged. And as soon as I got that email, I raced down to my basement and I got into my recording studio and I said, I got to do this for Tim tonight because I got so much energy and it made my day. So a little bit about myself. My name is Mike and I am the most successful failure in music you're ever going to meet. I wanted to be the next Jimmy Page or Eddie Van Halen, but the universe had a totally different plan for me. I own 3 music schools now in the Northeast, as well as played in bands and did session work, but I never really made it to that stardom level. But I've had the privilege to teach kids. I've probably taught over the course of 30, 35 years, probably about 600 or 700 people. And now I have people who work at my school that actually teach and incorporate all of my cheat codes that I've learned over those years. And they have now applied it to the teaching that they do in my schools. So we get the same results. And it's been amazing to watch. So what I'm going to contribute to the viewers today is rhythm. We all know how important rhythm is. You can be a guitar player, a bass player, a drummer, a singer, piano player. No matter what your instrument, rhythm is probably the most important thing, because without that, you're not going to sound so good, or you're not going to be able to play with other people. I've had people that came to me for music lessons who had terrible rhythm. And a lot of the times it was because they actually tried to play with their eyes. They tried to visualize it. But as you and I know, music is something that's auditory, and visualizing really kind of takes away from it. I try to explain to my students as well, people like Ray Charles, who are blind, but their hearing is just so in tune. They'd be able to pick something up immediately. I mean, that's why you get people who can't see, they have that enhanced hearing. Those are the exceptional players that really fine tune themselves so they can pick up anything immediately. They'll know exactly what note you're hitting and go right to it. Now, that's a gift. For those people that are not blind, they don't have that type of gift. So what I try to do is teach them the one cheat code. And I'm going to tell you that cheat code as soon as I tell you this story, because it all leads up to it, because I know it works. So a little bit about what happened about 6 months ago. I fly out to Rwanda and I do a seminar for a week. And my goal there is turn teachers into coaches. That's a whole different story. But I wanted to have the coaches who are in Rwanda teaching, I wanted to teach them the way that I taught for the past 30, 35 years. So I was flown down to give them a 5-day course. It was like 30 or 40 hours of just really getting into the meat and potatoes and how to get the best results from the teaching and the student experience. So there was drums that I had to teach music, teach teachers for. There was guitar, there were guitar teachers I had to teach, and there were piano teachers I had to teach. So I got there, I flew in, and my first one is a Monday, and it happens to be drums. So I'm basically a guitar player. I have a little bit of drum experience, but not much, but they have a djembe there. They don't have a regular 5-piece kit. So I have to figure out now how to take the djembe and kind of teach a music lesson with the djembe. If you don't know what a djembe is, it's almost like a bongo, but it's used in Rwanda. So there was a teacher that came up to me and he said, you know, Mr. Mike, there's a student in my class who he's terrible. He can't play a rhythm. He doesn't fit in. He doesn't have a lot of friends because when they look at him and he just can't play. And for some reason, I just can't break through. And I said, well, how long has it been coming to you for? He said, probably about 6 months. So as everybody else is doing so much better, this child, who is, I think, only maybe 11 years old, he's fallen behind and he feels really bad. So I said, you give me 30 minutes and I will guarantee you everybody will be playing the same level. Good, bad, or indifferent. If they are beginners, if they're advanced, they're always going to play, they're all going to play, rather, exactly the same as if they all are in total sync with each other. He said, it will not work. I said, you know what? Don't tell me who that student is. We're going to have 5 students come in. I'm going to teach them djembe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You're going to start to see it develop. But by that 30-minute time, everybody's going to be able to play in sync in perfect time. He didn't believe. In fact, I had a lot of people there. Nobody believed it. They're like, who's this guy from Brooklyn who speaks really, really quick? And he's just telling us that he's going to teach somebody how to play who we've not been able to teach rhythm now for 6 months. So the kids come into class and immediately I gave them all a rhythm. And I went across the entire room and they all started to play. And then I said, okay, close your eyes. So I put my hand over their eyes and then I hummed a really intricate rhythm. I forgot exactly what that rhythm was, but I hummed it. And then I asked them to close their eyes and then put their hands on the drum. But before they were going to play, and here's the key, I said to them, I need you to say it and then play it. So first, if you can't say it, then you can't play it, because you got to tell your brain what your hands are going to do. And if you can't tell your brain what your hands are going to do, your hands are going to do whatever your hands want to do. So the idea was, now I had to get somebody to translate it, because these children in Rwanda, they don't speak English, obviously. So they interpreted it and they closed their eyes and they asked them to hum. So I had 5 of these children with the djembes, one at a time. I closed their eyes and they hummed a beat. Do, do, da, ka, da, ka, do, do, bop, something like that. Do, do, ba, ka, ba, ka, boop, boop, bop. Went around the entire class, and then I went to one at a time. And then they did one at a time. Boop, boop, baka, baka, boop, boop, bop. Second person, boop, boop, baka, baka, boop, boop, bop. All the way to the 5th person. The key here is I don't even know which of these 5 children can't play drums or has no rhythm. I have no idea. By the end of that 30-minute class, they were all playing in perfect sync. So I'm going to show you a video in a second that's going to appear here of the actual conversation through music that I had with this child that he did not understand. understand a single word I was saying. I mean, again, I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. He has no idea even who I am, but you can see me and with my eyes and hearing him hum and humming along with him, he was able to do it. And you'll see me, I started off slow and he sat there, da, 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 da. It was the most amazing thing. It was like, it was an epiphany, a breakthrough, something that you just don't expect. And I have everybody around me looking. They didn't tell me who it was. And we all played this perfectly. Then we started to make it faster. We got it faster. And it was a beautiful crescendo. And then everybody just a round of applause. So the class is over. They all walk out. And I said, okay, who was the kid? I guess he must have been absent today because everybody was great. There wasn't a single person who was not able to play the rhythm. They all did it perfectly. Now, I didn't use their lessons. I just used my own lessons on how to create rhythm and teach rhythm based on what I know. So they said it was the kid in the blue shirt. I said, the kid in the blue shirt. That was one of the best in the class. Did you hear him? Did you hear the way he accented? He did the tone. He did the slap. He did the bass. He did everything perfect. He goes, no, that's the guy. So the guy that you're going to see here, that's the guy who was playing along with me in the middle of this small little hut in Rwanda, who he had never been able to play rhythm before. And at the end, everybody started to high five this kid. And the confidence level that we brought out was just amazing. So the key here is if you can't say it, you can't play it. I've been teaching so long, and I can promise you this works every time, even with the hardest of rhythms and even the youngest of children who come to you for lessons, because it's all about humming it. If you can't say it, you can't play it. Remember, can't say it. Your mind's got to tell you what your hands are going to do. Can't say it, you can't play it. Try that. Get somebody who's never, ever done this before. Ask somebody, who a friend, a family member, just tell them to come into the room, never played rhythm before, hum something, ask them to hum it, and then ask them to duplicate. And I guarantee you, they will get it the first time. So if you can't say it, you can't play it. And Tim, thank you so much for this opportunity. I hope this adds value to you and all the people that are watching. You are great. One day I'm going to meet you and fly out to Australia. Until that day, thanks so much for having me. And thank you so much, everybody who is here as the guests for the Tim Topham IMT Summit. Take care.
Now, another teacher I heard from was Laura, who said, thanks for another great podcast episode, Tim. One thing that stood out for me was when you talked about the emotional importance of creative activities, i.e. step 3 in the IMT model. Often, I get focused on making musical connections and forget that the more important connection is emotional. If the students are enjoying themselves, they are building a love for music and for learning. Thank you for this reminder. I'm really glad you said that, Laura, because just in this episode, in just a little while, I'm going to share some audio clips that I took of an interview with the amazing Dr. Anita Collins, neuroscience researcher and music teacher. About that connection, making connections and the emotion around it and how that can strengthen learning. So listen up for that. That's coming really, really soon. And then we also heard from Linda, who said, I'm very, very interested in your IMT certification and I'd love to be part of the first cohort. I submitted my form expressing interest, but I just want to express that what I've heard so far in your podcast about your certification validates everything I know about how I've been teaching piano for the last 10 years. And I want in. I really enjoyed hearing this. Thank you so much, Linda, for sharing this. I can't wait to get our pilot program launched. We're hoping to be able to launch our IMT certification program launch in February next year, February 2023. So stay tuned. If you are on any of our email lists, you'll certainly hear about that. Although we do have a lot of interest already. I think we have about 60 people signed up for early pilot access. So there may be a bit of a waiting list that happens. But what we're going to be doing is running a pilot for the certification in the first and second quarters of 2023. And then our goal is to launch it more formally once we've got all that feedback and ironed out any kinks, launching it more formally and more publicly around July next year. So in time for the US summer. And then just a super quick one-liner from Ted. Thank you, Ted, for saying, thanks for the three pillars talk. I really need to use number one with a teenage beginner. And number one, of course, in our three pillars of IMT is that student first or student-centered approach, which is so, so important, particularly as students enter those teenage years and 100% for adults. They have to have a student-centered approach and lots of autonomy in what they're learning. So thanks, Ted, for sharing that. Okay, now to my interview with Dr. Anita Collins. So, I'm just going to finish with two short excerpts from a longer interview that I recorded with Anita. And I'll be sharing the whole episode or the whole interview in an episode of this podcast early next year. So, for those of you who don't know, Dr. Anita Collins is an award-winning educator, researcher, and author in the field of brain development and music learning. She is internationally recognized for her unique work in translating the scientific research of neuroscientists and psychologists to the everyday parent, teacher, and student. You'll likely know her from her famous TED Talk, How Playing an Instrument Benefits Your Brain, and remember her from episode 184 of this podcast. She was on the show. We talked about, I still remember it so distinctly, adolescent brain pruning. If you're not sure what that is, episode 184 is one to listen to. And she was one of our keynote speakers for Piano Pivot Live 2020. So, we'll be sharing this whole interview in a future episode. So, if you're excited by what she says in this, don't worry, you will get the whole thing early next year. But I just want to play two short excerpts for you. The first is about the importance of teaching the theory at the time the knowledge is required during the practical lesson, what Anita calls just-in-time learning. And there's a little nod there to car manufacturing, of course, which we talk about more in depth, but in the full interview. What's intriguing for me is that this idea of just-in-time learning really is what the integrating in the IMT model is all about, connecting the knowledge when it's needed and not as a separate activity that a lot of us experienced when we were learning theory as a child. So, here's Anita.
And the whole idea is you teach them this piece of theoretical information, which is quite complex, and then there's no connection to the body and to the musical making and even the sound of these things for a number of days. There's a danger, unless the teacher connects all of those things together for the student, that they will never connect them. When it comes up in a piece, that's the time to actually teach about that thing. The information when we need it, this generation of learners, they do not learn in that way. Their memory systems are not nearly as good as they need to be to make those connections. So we need to adjust how we're teaching.
The second excerpt helps clarify why using creative activities, which the IMT model recommends as a bridge between theory and practice, helps form stronger memories in students because, and I quote here, the stronger the memory, the easier we can retrieve information. Let's have a listen to Anita.
The moment you took to make that memory, which is highly emotive, which creates high levels of meaning, therefore creates high memory. So think of memory, emotion, and meaning as a triangle. Because once we make a memory of something, we can then retrieve it. And the stronger the memory, the easily we can retrieve it. Mm. And then we can keep going. Every time we make that emotional connection, every time we set the reward network off in our students' brains, the enthusiasm they have for learning heightens. And it is like a really, really, really good drug. It goes, oh, I want to do that again. I want to learn more about that. Novel things are the things we remember. If you do every lesson as scale, piece one, piece two theory, there's no novelty in there. And so actually that's why students don't make any really good memories of that continual system. It's when you break the mold, they go, oh, something's different. What's happening here? Let's make a memory.
It's an interesting discussion, I think, between keeping structure and routine in lessons and going to the other end of the spectrum and having no structure week to week. I don't think we want either of these, really. There's a sweet spot somewhere in the middle, I think, and that's where most of us would be on a spectrum. But if you are fairly rigid and regimented and routined in your teaching and the structure that you use, maybe there's a little bit of room to move on that spectrum to provide some of these novel activities that are going to set stronger memories in the minds of your students and therefore help them to be able to recall things more quickly. So, remember that the experience or activity, if they're likely to remember it, they're more likely to be able to retrieve whatever theory you were trying to teach them at the time. And that's really the crux of this IMT model. So, that's it from me. Just a few viewpoints. If you've had a viewpoint on the integrated music teaching model that we've been sharing, I would love to hear it over on any of our social channels, our Facebook groups, or just head to the show notes for today's episode. I'm going to look at them, and as I always do, always check out the comments whenever one is left. To leave a comment on this episode with your views, head over to episode 306. So that's topmusic.co/episode306. That's it for our show today. Over on the Guitar Podcast this week, I hope you'll go and check it out. Episode number 31 is a chat about classical guitar, the Suzuki method, and other beginner methods featuring John Souza. And that's over at topmusic.co/guitar031, or check it out on any of your podcast players or Spotify. Just search for the Top Music Guitar Podcast with Michael Gumley. Next week on the show, we are having a member spotlight. I haven't done one of these for quite a while, actually, and so this is very exciting. And you can find out how we saved a teacher from literally being ready to quit teaching forever. It's a great episode. It's really heartwarming to hear just what an impact a community like Top Music Pro can have. So make sure you tune in next week. This is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from topmusic.co. I'm Tim Topham. Hope you've had a great time, and I'll speak to you next week. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.